Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. So how about that nor'easter?
How about it?
Nothing on the shoreline.
Nope.
But you go up north. Holy crap.
They found it.
Different story there.
Yep.
Depending on what you read and who you talk to, Norfolk and Goshen, 16 and a half inches, and Heartland, 18 inches. Those aren't confirmed, but a lot of power outages. You know, I'm trying to do the math by piecing stories together, and it looked like Eversource had 13,000 customers out over the course of the nor'easter.
Right.
I think most of them are back now.
Cool.
Goshen had 97% of its electric users out of power.
Yeah.
Like imagine being that one house that's on.
Everybody hates your ass.
One, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That's on the list.
How
do you make your neighbors hate you?
Right.
The one guy with lights on and a power store.
Comedian Dave Riley hanging out with us, and Sergeant Jeltimo with the Connecticut State Police on. How are the roads? How are the accidents? Did we have a lot?
Yesterday, we had about 100.
Seems like a lot.
Throughout the day. It all depends on where you were, like you said, in the state. Up north and the northwest corner, they got hammered, but then down on the shoreline, there was really nothing going on. So
that's most of the accidents happened.
Yeah.
We just sucked trying.
It's funny.
Right. Our troopers were quite busy yesterday, so.
What do you do when a storm's coming in? Do you overstaff? Is it like a busy night for a restaurant?
Do you
get more people?
It depends.
How does it work?
Yeah, it depends. We still have our normal patrol shifts. Oftentimes, those that work in specialized units, we call it snow patrol, might have to go out and help the troops out, depending on how big the storms are. If there is a significant event, a shift may come in early, or they may be held over from the previous shift, depending on what's going on.
Wow.
Your cars are rear-wheel drive. Do they ever get stuck?
So our old cars, but now that we've transitioned over into majority of our troopers now have SUVs, which are four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the sedans, the newer sedans are all-wheel drive. So that's really been helpful. When we had the old cruisers, it was kind of difficult. I wouldn't say difficult, but it was more annoying.
Yeah, you had to load the trunk with everything for all that weight.
Right.
No, but it's, I don't know if anyone remembers the old ambulances, the Ghostbuster ambulances.
Yeah.
It was basically
the
a
caddies.
Cadillac station wagon.
It was a hearse used for a different thing.
There was no, It's like.
It's either you're going or they're going to fix it back
up. Right, it's white
again.
Or black.
Right, you want the
which
red one?
Showing up
you want the red and white one, not the black one.
But they would get stuck.
Yeah. It's embarrassing.
They get stuck.
You're not a heart attack patient. Get out of here. Help.
Yeah.
Help push.
You're in the back. They're calling AAA.
What mistakes do most of us make in the weather that we had yesterday when we're driving?
Oftentimes we find that people are either traveling too fast for the conditions or they're following too close to other vehicles and they don't have that reaction time to stop because the roads are quite slippery. So whenever there is whether it's rain or snow, we need to slow down. We ask drivers to slow down and then leave room in between themselves and other vehicles when they're out on the roadways.
Does anyone follow on Instagram the site Crash Dashes?
No.
Wow.
I've never
Crash
heard of
Dashes?
It's just a collection of, Joe Myers talked about it on
Instagram.
The air, and I can't stop following this thing now. It's just dash cam.
Really?
Of accidents.
Oh, I love that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Where they're constantly recording, so they grab them all.
Yeah, and they're just no captions. It's just one
crash
after another.
Crash dashes.
Oh,
well, AJ, I hate when people slam on the brakes while I'm texting, and then I look up, and then, you know what I mean?
This is really, mash right into them.
It really pisses me off.
Yeah.
Okay, so, follow me.
What I want to do is I want to ask everybody if you ever wanted to ask a state trooper a question, but was afraid to ask while you're on the side of the road, potentially getting a ticket.
Or guns trained on you and you're being told
the question I always like, is $100 enough to wrap around it?
What kind of
With inflation, should I put $200 around the license?
What kind of gifts do you like?
So is there a proper answer to the question, have you had anything to drink tonight?
Honesty is the proper answer, being honest.
So the answer you hear most times is, how many have you had? Two.
A couple or two.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
One or two.
Right.
Because one, you know, they're not going to believe one. Beyond one.
They can smell your breath.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the voice of reason.
But three sounds like a lot.
Right.
Three sounds like too much. Three, I think that.
Too much. I would just say I lost count. Who can count that high?
I can't count that high.
I had people buying me that might want to come. I don't know. I lost count. Mike's on the sidewalk.
Another question I have is when you pull someone over and you run their plate, how much of their life comes up on the screen? Is it just the motor vehicle history, or is it, you know, when you put a driver's license in, do you get the guy was busted for a felony back in 86 and
right.
he was...
Right.
What
so,
comes
yeah.
up?
You were jilted.
So my credit score,
yeah. right? You're
what I bought on Amazon recently.
It says here your fetishes.
Your social media account. Right.
Chaz didn't account. Return that lawnmower to its neighbor in 87.
How many followers I have on social media.
Exactly, right.
It says here like long walks on the beach.
So when we run a license plate, the information of the vehicle comes up and the registered owner's information comes up. Then once we get a driver's license, if it's not the registered owner, then all of their information to include if they have ever been arrested before.
Wow.
Right. Any previous history we've had with them, whether it's motor vehicle, if they have any warrants out there, if there's any type of protective orders that could be. Associated with them
right.
as well.
They also know if you're a gun owner, if you have a good
right.
pistol permit,
if you're a legal gun owner,
right, exactly, right, yeah. yes, because right. if they ask you where is it right now,
yeah.
I got that.
No, that was one of the things that they covered in my class
yeah.
when I went for my pistol permit.
Yeah,
is that you just put both hands up on the wheel?
Yep, I always do anyway.
If you're carrying,
I always did anyway.
And you just say, I just want you to know,
yep.
I'm a legal,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, don't reach
and,
for
and
it.
And I have it with
oh,
me.
No, I was.
What do you want to do?
I was asked. That was the first question I got asked. Not, hi, how are you?
Oh, really?
Yeah, they said, okay, so I know you have a gun. Is it on you right now?
So they saw from your plate?
On my plate, yeah. Yeah.
Because if you're the registered owner, yeah. So
yeah
you get all
yeah.
the information from the registered
what
owner.
What is it? Where is it? Is it on me right now? And is it loaded?
Oh, great.
Right.
But you look kind of psychotic,
right.
and I
though,
said,
so that's why.
And I just went, blah, 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 blah.
That's the best answer.
How much have you had to drink?
Right. Yeah.
and then you're, boop.
You see he's got a gun, and you pull up, and you see AJ. You're going to go, where is he?
He's fine.
Right.
He'll probably hurt himself.
Exactly.
Sergeant Jeltham of Connecticut State Police on, and she's nice enough to play Ask a Trooper.
Yes, thank you.
Anything you've always wanted to ask?
Right.
Paul in Wallingford?
Yeah. So my question is about the thing that happened with the guy on the Q Bridge, where the cop got a little crazy. So my question is, at what point...
Hold on.
Yeah, a little more
backstory
here.
First of all, the sergeant probably can't comment on it if it's pending, but...
Yeah,
okay, what happened?
Yeah.
Give us that.
Okay.
In a sentence.
The cop pulled the guy over, and the guy gave him the finger or something, and the cop came up to him and got a little aggressive. It doesn't matter what happened to him. But my question is, at what point do you, when you feel really, really threatened because the cop is having a very, very bad day, who do you call or what do? So that you aren't pooping your pants? Because
Wait. I'm trying to put the question together for you. So when do you, at what level of uncomfort do you call for backup?
Right. For a person being pulled over, the cop is yelling and he's making you put your phone down. And at what point
why
do
is
they
your phone
listen?
Up?
You're filming him. I mean, you're allowed to film them.
Oh, God.
Well, I'm just trying to prove a point here. There
what?
Are cops
but
that are a little.
Do you understand
crazy.
What I asked, though? What you.
Yeah,
you know, it's like
that.
What you wanted to ask a trooper,
right?
And now you're trying to make a point.
Are you allowed to drive away? Are you allowed to call 911?
Jesus,
say,
Paul.
What I can say is, it all starts from the first interaction with the law enforcement officer that you're dealing with. If the law enforcement officer feels that the demeanor of the operator or anybody else in the vehicle is I wouldn't say threatening, but if the demeanor is poor demeanor or if the tone is poor, that usually will not allow for the police officer to have a interaction with these individuals. So just being respectful and having a good demeanor with the law enforcement officer oftentimes will not have anything escalate to levels where you will feel uncomfortable. If you don't feel comfortable from the initial stop, even before you're approached by the police officer,
correct.
You can
yeah.
call 911 and have another police officer there with them. or somebody else. But pulling over, pulling over and listening to what the police officer is asking, not flicking them off on as you're passing them is probably not a good idea. So
I agree with you.
And the behavior prior to.
Yeah.
So that's all I can say about that is just having being respectful to anybody, regardless if they're law enforcement or not. So.
All right, Paul. Thank you.
That's all I have.
Like Dalton said in Roadhouse, be nice.
Be nice.
Until it's time to not be nice.
So I flipped off the officer, and then he got upset with me. I don't get it.
Yeah. If I can say something, there's there are people out there that video record, whether it's law enforcement or people out there that might.
They're in line at a store. Yeah. They're just looking for, they're trying to get bad behavior.
And they post that up on social media to make money. If they get so many hits, then they become, I guess, sponsored or whatever. And
monetized.
Whether it's Instagram, Instagram or whatever those social media platforms are, will pay them money for as many hits as they want. So the more people watch those and the more people get all amped up and end up on social media. These individuals are making money. It's not to make us look bad. It's so that they can make money.
Yeah. They're making a statement.
Which is unfortunate.
They're making money.
Yeah.
Right. That's a drag.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah, but I hear you.
Sergeant Geltema with the Connecticut State Police on the phone. Alan in East Lyme, what's your question?
Yeah, I wanted to know if it's legal to pass on the right-hand side on a three-lane highway. I see some people get upset over that, and they try to, but on a three-lane highway, I think it's legal to pass on the right-hand side.
Right. So the left lane typically is the travel lane, but we know here in Connecticut, a lot of people tend to use that on cruise control at the speed limit.
Yep.
So that can be kind of difficult. It all depends, too, on what is going on. Passing on the right typically is more for the two-lane highways. We know when there's a two-lane highway, trucks are not, or a three-lane highway, trucks are not allowed to be in that left lane. So if the truck's in the left lane, getting passing them. So, and oftentimes, how are we going to know that you're passing on the right? People might get upset. Well, if they're in the left lane, they should move over.
Yep.
Yes.
And speed up.
Yes.
So is that
right-hand side in a three-lane highway?
Yeah. Is it officer's discretion? Like, can you get pulled over? You pass on the right?
On the street, yes, you possibly could, depending on what other things that could be going on. If they're going 90 miles an hour passing on the right-hand side,
right.
There's other things that are in addition to that.
You
so
throw a beer bottle out the window, you know, things like that.
Right, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. It all depends. Yeah. If everybody in the left and the center lane are going below or 60, 65, and you need to get a little bit ahead of them and kind of overcome them, then there's not a problem with
that.
And
if you're passing them on the right because they're going slow, should you flick them off with your left hand or the right hand? Which one is the problem?
And video record them.
Right, yeah, she recommends both.
Well, you flip with the left so you can record with your right.
Yes!
Right.
Yes,
right.
Have you noticed an uptick in drivers being stoned or cars smelling like weed since the laws changed in Connecticut?
Oh, yes. It's just smelling it's everywhere. Even when you pass somebody or at a stoplight, you can smell it.
Oh, you can smell it down the street. So driving, and it was a funeral for
right.
my grandmother's house don't smell like cookies no more.
No. But I want a cookie afterwards.
AJ, you know what a CEO is?
Yes,
right?
I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's a OEC?
OEC. OEC.
You know, it sounds like go easy.
Yeah, OEC. I've heard that many times. OEC.
Tony Polino's, and he's founding brewer and head of sales for OEC Brewing Company in Oxford.
Yay.
What does OEC stand for?
Hey, guys. OEC stands for Ordinum Eccentrici Coctores, which is bad.
AJ, say that three times fast.
Yeah, right? Oh, I can't say it one time.
Go ahead.
It's kind of bad Latin.
What was it? One more time.
Can you Ordinum? Say the last one on the air?
Ordinum
Eccentrici.
Ordinum Eccentrici.
Coctores.
Coctores.
That's Latin for penis.
I hope not.
I went to the emergency room for that once.
Is it itchy?
Wow, I don't think I'd be able to say that if I tried
OEC's
it all day.
OEC's much better.
Yeah. OEC.
Yeah.
Keep it simple.
Eccentries, coctorum.
Coctores.
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 It doesn't matter.
Coctores.
It's bad.
Yeah, I got
coctorum.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that.
It sounds like you got to go slow. Coctores.
Coctores. Is it prison brew?
Hey, what happened to you last night?
Cactores.
I got cactores.
What does the name mean? Why would you pick something so complicated?
So it's we're fiercely serious about the liquid we make, but the names are...
We just ripped it all apart.
But the names are kind of tongue-in-cheek, a little bit of a joke. It's bad Latin for, like, Order of the Eccentric Boilers. Cooks, brewers.
See?
So it's like that historic, like, old brewing society, but historically you didn't really know what fermentation was prior to Louis Pasteur. It was all kind of magic, everything like that. So when a beer is fermenting, it's bubbling. It looks like it's boiling. So you want your other liquids to start boiling, aka ferment. So it's just kind of a play on that.
You need a t-shirt that says my cactoris is boiling. I would buy that t-shirt.
I will not make it.
Well, then I'm going to make it.
All right. I'm coming after you.
You know, the main thing is that you make great beer.
Yes.
So it's a fun name.
Yes. OEC.
It's a great name.
For the rest of us, it's OEC.
OEC works for me.
Very simple.
OEC works for me.
And then for the beer, you know, I don't want to say snobs, but the high-end beer smart people.
Yes, those people.
Mm. There's some humor there in
the
name.
You know you are, yes.
Yeah.
And so you'd hear the name and say, oh, they know what they're doing because they're...
Nerds.
They're joking up here on this level of beer.
So. Wow, that's cool.
How did it start? Did you guys, did you just start making beer in your basement? How do you get into this?
I mean, personally, I started making beer in my mom's kitchen when I was a teenager. Making mead, really. And my parents are mad cool. So for my 18th birthday, they bought me a homebrew kit, which is legal in this country.
Nice.
And then over the course of the years, kind of met up with some other people, the owners of the company, OEC. We're also an importing company. So we've been importing beer, mead, cider, sake, spirits for 20 plus years now. And the next step in the process was to take it all on ourselves and kind of to do some really niche focused stuff right here in Connecticut. We started off making only sour beer, actually. And out in the middle of nowhere in Oxford, people are like, why would you do such a thing? We're like, well, we're going to really focus on this thing that we believe in. And if we do it well, people will come.
I love sour beer.
Oh,
well, I hate IPA, but I love sour beer.
Well, then we're the brewery for you.
Interesting.
We don't make any IPA. IPAs.
Yeah, I hate IPA. I don't understand how people could drink that. It's like you're drinking an air freshener. I think it's disgusting.
Stands for IPA.
No, I love the old school ones. I don't like all these, we cram some berries in there. Like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. Agreed.
No, I like the sour stuff.
I think it tastes good.
Interesting. So you decided it. But you were out there doing it before anyone. So it wasn't like, we're going to go over here because everyone's over here.
Right.
You decided this path way before everybody started going down a different path. That's interesting.
Yep. Yeah, we just said, hey, this is something weird that we love and we believe in. Let's do it and do it well. So
that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
And you're out in Oxford. Why? How do you pick Oxford?
It's kind of centrally located. Our sister business, Be United International, we built our main warehouse and headquarters for the country right there as well.
Oh, wow.
So we have two facilities down on Fox Hollow Road in Oxford that we just kind of based everything out. We got in on a development space years and years back, so we got to build and build and build.
So
and
you own the
room.
Property?
Yes, we do.
Wow.
Nice.
Smart.
Very smart.
That property now is probably worth a lot more than you paid for it back in 14.
I was before 14, but
really?
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's been an explosion in Oxford. Restaurants and
in a good way.
Shopping center. Yeah, good explosion.
Not like the killing
population.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
When you were making all this beer at your house and you're just a kid and, you know, you say, hey, mom, try this one.
Right.
That's... The love of a parent when they take a sip. Oh, this
right.
is really
not knowing what's going to happen, right?
You get cocked with your mom at the kitchen table.
I mean, to be a teenager and to make booze, it's like you feel like a god. You're like, I could do anything.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. Yeah, in the neighborhood you are.
I'm the coolest scientist.
You are. No, you're the cool kid in school.
You got a lot more friends when you can make booze.
Yes, you do.
I mean, I looked like this in high school, so you can imagine I wasn't the cool kid.
Making hooch in the back of your toilet tank.
Nice. Yes, that one time.
When did you know you were onto something? Like, how old were you when you made a beer and you're like, oh boy, we got something here?
Oh, I mean, for me personally, it was probably, in my early 20s, I was like, I'm actually pretty good at this.
Nice.
Brewing with a lot of different friends and stuff. I wasn't going to take it on as a career until, Well, I wasn't ever going to take it onto a career, but the opportunity presented itself, and we all kind of just were like-minded and had some similar ideas, and we came together and I think came up with something pretty cool. Even though we have, you know, expanded a bit since what we originally started as just a sour brewery, you know, now we're making predominantly lagers. We're a bunch of lager nerds. We're, you know, brewers. We want to drink crisp, delicious, you know, drinkable beer, you know, stuff that's not going to
bog
you
down. When
you
say drinkable, what do you mean?
Something that, you know, you could have more than one of. And
yeah.
I like the kind of choose your own adventure beer, a beer that you could drink. Like it's a beer flavored beer. But if you want to like nerd out and pick out all the nuances of it, you can take that path too.
Like what?
So, I mean, something as simple as like our flagship beer, Cool Ship Lager. It's a Czech style blonde lager. And you could drink it if you are a Budweiser drinker or you are the nerdiest beer, let's say, quote unquote, connoisseur.
Both of those people would like it.
Yes, yep. Absolutely.
Wow, nice.
Yeah.
It's funny because what happened? There was none of this before. It was Budweiser.
Yeah.
It was, you know, there was three or four big names. And then to me, I feel like Sam Adams was the first one to break out. It was a big brewery.
Yeah.
But it was like, this is a niche beer.
Right. Here's a different one. Yeah.
Boston Lager.
Oh, this is different.
Yeah, this is
right.
A chance.
Yeah. Well, they're pumpkin
was,
beer.
Was that it that opened the door or was this coming way before?
Oh, I mean, Boston Beer Company, Sam Adams, is definitely something that changed the trajectory of, let's say, independent breweries, whatever you want to classify them as today.
He did his own commercials. It felt very local. It was made down the street.
People
were like, oh, this is cool. And then I think that people who enjoyed that started to say, can we take it to another level?
Yeah, right. You had the Sam Adams of the world. You had the Sierra Nevadas of the world. And like those are the breweries that kind of started the whole boom back in the late 70s, early 80s. And this, you know, we've had many waves of what we call now craft beer in this country. But, you know, you look at it around the world and beer can be very like hyper localized. You go to Germany and every town has its own brewery. That's just always the way it's been.
It's like Connecticut now, though, right?
Oh, yeah. We have so many. Over 100 breweries in this tiny state.
Pretty cool. Dave got pretty much grabbed by the ankles and shaken upside down.
That's their flag,
for his money.
That's their flag.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, you remember when we went to Bermuda? We got pulled all the way across the island to go to that beach, remember?
Oh, yeah.
What was that now?
The beach.
When we went to Bermuda,
beach.
Remember?
Horseshoe Beach.
They like drove us. We get off the boat and they drove us like, and we went like a half an hour to get to a beach.
That's right.
We left the ocean to get to a beach.
Right.
We got on a boat too, remember? We got like on a train to a boat to get to a beach.
Yeah. Who the hell's idea was that?
Remember? That was your idea.
We were all drinking. So
no, it wasn't.
Yeah, that was your idea.
No, we were all drinking.
Chaz is like, I got a good idea.
We all went to a beach. We're all guilty.
I'm like, dude, we just left a boat in the ocean to go on a train to get to a boat to get to a beach.
Right. I think I got the idea from Dave.
Right.
He said, I know how to do excursions.
Right.
Frank.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
So, actually, it's kind of the same story about what you guys were just saying in regards to, like, getting on a plane, you get to another airport. Get in a car, go to another airport to go fly to an island. I was in Costa Rica, and it was still, to this day, the best trip I've ever taken, but the sketchiest trip. I was walking on the beach, and they didn't. In this area of Costa Rica, there's no cars, or you get around on dirt bikes and quads.
Cool.
On bicycles.
Right.
So we're walking down the road, and I have flip-flops on. And I got sand in my flip flop, and it kind of wore like a little hole in my skin. So I went back to the room.
Right between the big toe and the second big toe.
Right,
it's kind of like a
exactly.
But right there,
exactly like where it was.
AJ's getting all turned on
like
right
a,
now.
like a bad Jimmy Buffett song.
What did that toe look like?
Part two. Not
That's
dudes.
Right.
Dudes never.
Yeah, bottle
no,
top.
Never
yeah.
dudes. Yes.
Sand between the
it
toes.
Was,
right.
Quite uncomfortable. So I went back to the place we're staying at, and I realized I didn't bring any Band-Aids. So I'm like, where the hell am I going to find Band-Aids around here? So I walk down the road, find this pharmacy. Now, again, I don't speak much Spanish.
Spell an F.
Costa Rica, you could get cocaine in those pharmacy there.
Yeah,
like, that's right. Like an over-the-counter thing.
Yeah.
So
So I walk into the pharmacy. I'm trying to find Band-Aids. They have American candies and all different types of stuff. I'm pointing to the Band-Aids, and you have to buy them singly. So as I'm waiting for one, I see a guy walk through. They go to, like, a little examination area with a slide curtain, and then all of a sudden you hear somebody's doing cocaine right there.
Right. That holy crap.
Well, they're open 24
hours. Like,
so.
Holy crap.
I thought, like, that was someone's zipper.
Right. Oh. That was a different exam.
That's scary.
Got any bigger Band-Aid?
I've done that breathalyzer before.
I was like, wow. And we were, realistically, we were like 180 miles or 200 miles from the Colombian border. So
right.
Once it all happened, I go, oh, well, this makes sense. I got to get the hell out of here.
That's why Nobody needs cars.
Yeah.
Why is everybody running so fast?
They burn rubber on a bicycle.
Everybody's chewing.
They actually speak English there. It's just so fast. Right. It sounds like a different language.
I call Auctioneerville.
Yeah. All right, Frank. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Wow.
Talking about weirdo experiences in other countries. Alan in Newtown.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I think it was, it's Playa del Carmen, that's south of Cancun.
Okay.
So it started off with the rental car, got screwed big time there, but it was off site and not at the airport and had nowhere to go, so I had to pay all the extra fees and insurances. And I was hungry, so we went to the Burger King or whatever it was right next door. They charged me twice or three times what it should have been.
That was a Whopper.
I don't speak Spanish.
Yeah.
And then we got a rental car, so we were driving around and went to gas up. Now, they have this really interesting routine. So you pull up into the gas station, and it's a fairly good-looking, Spanish girl comes out, and, oh, can I help you pump the gas and everything? Of course, you get distracted. And
of course.
She's pumping the gas.
Right.
It's so easy to get us.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
It is.
Right. Boobies.
It is.
Okay.
You turn on the Mexican news channel, Everybody's hot.
Salvador Gigante.
Yes. It's easy.
We're gullible,
Yes.
I mean, we fall for it. Well, so it's a little Volkswagen Passat, I think it was. And it was like almost $100 in gas. I says, wow, gas is really expensive here. And I look at the gallons. It's like, there's no way you could fit that number of gallons in this car. Well, that's what it is. You got to pay it. And so what am I going to do? Call the police?
Wait, right. So you have to buy a minimum amount of gas that won't
you
even fit in the car.
Whatever they're telling you, you just bought. Or her brother, the cartel, will come out.
Right.
Now, here's what they do. This is the trick.
Okay.
Is they don't erase the previous purchase before you. It's in there, but they catch you off guard.
They just keep adding to it.
Ah.
They just keep adding to it.
Right. So you bought 4 gallons.
So you want to go in the morning.
Right, yes.
Yeah,
right.
You want to be the first guy.
When they open.
You don't want to be there 3 p.m.
Yeah, when you open. Yeah.
Wow. And what are you going to do?
One of our tour guides told us about that. Yeah. So it was everywhere you went, you got screwed.
It's called tourist tax.
Down to Mexico,
you pay the tourist tax.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll just stay here.
But
the cops are sketchy. Like, you call the cops.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're all on the
take. They put you in the car. You're like, damn it. I think I'd rather be with the gas station guy.
They don't have matching uniforms.
But you could grease everybody there. Everybody gets greased, whatever it is.
And they expect it.
And they take it. Oh, yeah, and they want it.
Yeah.
They don't want to take it. They just want your money.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, was the chick hot? At least, was it worth it?
Were you pumping crude or what?
Because he went back for gas 3 more times.
Ran again.
That's crazy.
Otherwise, it was a good trip.
Yeah. Nice. I started getting screwed for gas.
Right.
$500 in gas.
You live, though. See, they get you so scared that when you leave and you're like, well, they screwed me out $100, but I'm alive.
You can tell the tale.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thank you, Alan.
Exactly. Hey, no problem.
All right, man. I was just telling Dave a similar experience. We left the resort and went out on an excursion. And it was just like 6 of us, and we're like, oh, we got this whole beach to ourselves.
Right.
And the guy's cutting pineapples open and feeding us, and this
paradise.
Is really beautiful.
What country are you in?
This Haiti.
Oh.
Oh.
Haiti? You went to Haiti?
Yeah. We were on a cruise ship. We stopped.
Stop by. You can stop. You can go to Haiti. By. I didn't even know that.
We stopped by. We said hello to Haiti.
You know, people like leave Haiti, right? Nobody signs
not
up.
Not for nothing, but the boat.
They build rafts that aren't safe to leave Haiti.
Right.
But anyway, so, you know, we're there, and it's just beautiful. It's right from a dream. Yeah. Like, it's completely undeveloped. There's no sign of any life or development, and we're just there, and we're just enjoying the moment. It's really beautiful.
That's just scary right there.
The weather's perfect. The water's perfect. The guy's chopping the fruit. We're eating fruit and the sounds, and
you're next.
It's really heaven. I'm like, I have to tinkle. Just... go up there in the woods. So I took a walk up in the woods, and as I walked in the woods, there's a guy with a machine gun.
Yeah, nice. Right.
And
so he tinkled, right?
he thought you were trying to break into Haiti. you're the one guy trying to get into Haiti.
Right, yeah, right. You can't come in.
Right. Did they say, no, you don't want to go in here?
I thought, I hope he's with us.
Right.
He was.
Yes.
But that's when you know you're in some sketchy area when... you know, they got guys with machine guns to protect their guests.
Right.
Protect.
Machine guns.
Right. Because that means there's waves of people coming. He can take
out a taser.
Folks. Right. No. It wasn't, it wasn't a pistol. Yeah. It wasn't.
I need a 30-round clip in case there's multiple problems.
It wasn't like an old retired guy with white socks and pile of his shoes with a six gun.
And that boat that left, that was the one I went fishing on.
Right.
That's right.
You guys,
the Haitian refugees was like serving me the buffet.
Right. It was a Buick that floated.
So I'm talking about sketchy times outside the country. And Deborah from all over Connecticut.
Okay.
You're calling in about Mexico?
Yes. Actually, Playa del Carmen, but it's another happy story for the Americans.
Okay.
I went out with a friend to see the island. Like, so we were renting a Jeep, and there was a big mishap with the Jeep, and the man wouldn't give us our money back. And, of course, he's only speaking Spanish.
Right.
And
so you walk away.
He told us to come back in like 3 hours because then he'd have someone who could translate. We go back in 3 hours. Nobody's there. They're closed. Hmm. So what he didn't know was that we had someone in our group who spoke fluent Spanish.
Right.
So she was like, oh, no, 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 no. So she went back with me. And he was there. We went back later on. And, of course, they reopened. And she gave him such a tongue lashing in Spanish. She gave us all our money back.
Well, you're lucky.
Yeah, you know, she spoke his language.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And fluently. She taught English in Spain.
Right.
So
you have to be very good when you're yelling at someone.
Yeah.
Because the words are coming fast. You're not really thinking it out.
Right.
It's not practiced.
Right.
It's a very specific dig to the person in the moment.
Right. He said two words in English, crazy bitch.
But your body could disappear there. You know what I mean? They could just make you disappear.
Man, she's crazy.
That is true.
But this friend was also very reasonable. Like, she'd explain. And I think you'd get tired of listening to her. Just say, okay, give them the money.
She's being a Karen in Spanish.
Yeah. She said, shut up.
So that was a good day. I was very happy.
Nice. No, that is a good day.
Thank God you had her.
Could have been sketchy.
Truth.
Yep.
Mm. That's.
I wouldn't have gone back on my own.
No, I wouldn't have either.
Nope.
You're at their, any country you go to, if they have a little bit of an advantage on you.
Oh, yeah. You're at their mercy. What are you going to do?
What are you going to call? What are you going to do?
Right.
Yeah, you got to stay where the tourists are. You can't go off that. Once you go off the beaten path, you want to start saying you got rights and you're going to argue. You can't argue.
I'll put that dog collar on, make sure I go past the fence. I'm going to stay in the yard.
Thank you, Deborah.
Yeah, the best thing is to stay in the yard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like leaving the...
You've got everything there. You got a pool, you got food, you got all kinds of stuff.
Well, we went to Punta Cana with the tribe, and Dave said, hey, go to this Boinga Boinga place or whatever.
Conga Bunga.
I'm like, Conga Bongo.
I was
there. I've been there. Conga Bongo. It's so much fun.
It's so much fun. We just went on this last trip.
Was that the place with Kiss?
Freaking amazing. Yeah.
Okay.
Freaking, it was amazing. And but that's, you know what though it is? That's another bubble of tourist safety. That little area they drop you in is like being at another resort.
Okay.
So there's all kinds of guards and people around there. So you're not really.
Right.
Vacuum
money. That's it. Yeah.
And they have deals with all the resorts, I think.
Yeah. So they're not going to let anything happen to you there.
Okay.
You're pretty safe.
That sounds more fun.
Right.
But there's scary places. I went to Tijuana. Did you ever go to Tijuana?
No.
Nope.
Tijuana. We drove across the. I'm like, hey, I'm going to drive to Mexico. Badass.
Why do you get these
ads? Tijuana.
Yeah, right. It says Tijuana. I'm like, yeah, all right, we'll just drive across. I figured that's going to be cool. And then when you get there, there's this one little strip that's like a little strip where they got all the Tijuana stuff going on. And, I'm going to hang out there. And everybody says, don't leave the strip.
Right.
Don't leave this little area.
Of course you did.
And everybody's looking at you like you're meat.
Right.
Because
you are.
And I said, hey, I'm badass. I'm not afraid. I'm an American. I was younger at the time, and I thought I couldn't die. And I was like, hey, we'll go down a couple more streets. And as you went one more street over, more and more people are, like, legit following you, looking over your shoulder. I'm like, there's like four people. Oh, no, there's five people.
Some of them want my money, but some want...
I don't know what they want. But you know
more.
Yeah. We took a left and a left, and then we ran, like little girls. Ran. Shoo!
Screaming and everything.
Flip-flops, AJ?
Ah!
No flip-flops.
So like a fast...
Wait, here comes AJ.
Like a fast tennis match.
Yeah.
Because it was sketchy. I'm like, one more block and something bad would have happened. So, you gotta stay where you gotta stay.
And the hospitals aren't good there.
No.
And that's a whole, you know, pay as you go kind of thing. They're gonna take your parts. You could be dying. They won't see you unless you write out a check.
Yep.
But that's
or
a
credit
business.
Card. They,
but
they
that's
want
a
the
business
money.
To take your pieces. That's a business.
Yeah.
You know what a kidney? You get money.
Yeah.
Like they'll pay like $100,000 for a kidney.
Oh, yeah,
some rich dude needs a kidney. He's going to go, guess what? I'm not going to wait for the donor.
No, I'll go to Mexico.
I'll get a Mexican one.
Right. Jen and Chaplin.
Yes. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
So it was years ago, and I was in what was still Soviet Russia. So we were in St. Petersburg, which is now Leningrad. And none of the cab drivers spoke English. I mean, it was the first time I was in a country where I couldn't communicate. So I, you know, grew up with Canadian French family. So if we went to Canada, I could somewhat communicate. I was completely out of my element. And so were the rest of my friends that I was with.
Right.
And so it was evening and we were, you know, wanting to go out, and we found a cab driver, and we kind of told him what we wanted to do, and he nodded and
pointed to a bottle of vodka.
No we had no idea where we were going to go, nothing. He brought us to this place, and they took us upstairs, and they fed us champagne and food, and we had live entertainment all night long. Had no idea what to pay for the bill. We all left the American $20 on the table.
Uh-huh.
And we went back to where we were staying. And to this day, it's like probably one of my coolest stories because we still don't know what we owed them. We know that back then, you know, when it was still communist, the American dollar was huge.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. They really may have been like, wow, they left us $1 million.
Right. You probably over tipped. That's why you're still alive.
And then we tipped the cab driver pretty well, too, because we didn't know how much we owed him.
It's great when it goes that way.
So. Right. He's following your Facebook now.
Yeah. You don't know what to expect, and then you end up with something better because the person has a direct connection with somebody.
Hey, look, Lynn. Mm.
Yeah. That's a great one.
Exactly.
Yeah. Perfect.
Exactly.
Thank you, Jazz.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.